Well, we are going to jump right in tonight, continuing the study that we started last week on discovering God's will for me. Discovering God's will for me. And again, I am so excited about what we are going to be talking about tonight. But a quick review, if you weren't here last Wednesday, quick review. We said that there are three kinds of God's will, and it is important that we understand these because these serve as the framework for us finding God's will for ourselves. There is the providential will of God. These are things you don't even need to pray about. They're just going to happen. God said, I'm coming back. You don't have to pray for God to return. He's going to return. Okay? God said, I am going to I'm going to create a nation that's going to be blessed. And they didn't have to pray about that. God did it. There are things that God says he's going to do, and it's just going to happen. Okay? And we will be a part of that. God uses people, but understanding what God's providential will is serves as one side. That the God won't break that. God's not going to change that. We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to stress over it. It's going to happen. And so that is God's providential will. The second is God's moral will. These are the things that God tells us to live by. These are the things that you don't have to pray about it either. You don't have to say, Lord, you know, should I steal? Lord, you know, should I go and bump off my neighbor? Okay, you don't need to pray about that. God said there's a boundary there. And those are extreme examples. Hopefully you're not having to pray about those. But understanding that God's way is established for a reason and a purpose. That it is, God says, this is the way that I want you to live your life. This is the way that I want you to, you know, use your finances. This is the way that I want you to spend your time. This is the way that I want you to guide your work life. All of these things are part of God's moral will. He says, this is how I want you to live. And these two serve as kind of the bumpers on both sides. And we find God's personal will. And that is, for me, it's unique to my circumstance, my calling, my direction, what God has in store for me. And what we find is this, that these first two are absolutes. God is never going to change his mind and say, you know, it's okay for you to steal. It's not going to happen. God is not going to say, well, I've decided not to come back, you know, with a rapture after all. These are not going to change. These are in place. But what we find here in the middle of it, God's personal will, is often things that aren't right or wrong. They're not absolutes. It's God, should I take this job or this job? God, should I go or should I stay? And it's between these two that we find God's personal will. And this is really what we're looking for. This is really where we want God to speak. But if I could say one statement that would make the most difference when it comes to God's will in finding God's will for you, it's simply this, that God's will, and I think I made a slide for it, that God's will, the will of God, is found in the way of God. Can we say that together? The will of God is found in the way of God. When I live my life according to God's way, I find God's will. When I live my life according to God's principles and guidelines, I discover God's will. And so many times people want to live outside of the will of God, but they want the will of God, but they don't want the way of God. I'm going to live my life according to my plan and my priorities and what works best for me. But God, show me what you want me to do. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. So that's what we talked about last week. This week we're going to focus a little different. And we're going to talk about what happens when we need to discover God's will in a hurry. When there's a timetable. When there is a pressing decision, or I've got a decision to make, when I'm looking for guidance that I can't just wait indefinitely. It's not a long-term thing. There's a pressing decision that I have to make. And what do I do next? What am I supposed to do? How do I do this? And so we're going to talk about that. How do we discover God's will when we need it? There's an urgency behind it. Maybe you're a new Christian and you don't have time to dig through and find all the providential or moral examples, okay? Or maybe there's a decision that's unclear and you got to make a decision, but you're unclear of where to go, or you're unable to make a sound decision and you're outside of your comfort zone. You're out of your league, but yet I need to make a decision and I want to discover God's will. What do we do when we need to discover God's will in a timely manner when something is pressing? How do we discover that. And we're going to find it in God's word. And God makes accommodations for that. And God gives us the principle in the book of 1 Kings. And here's the thing. When we talk about the principle, when we get there, this principle is so obvious. I mean, it's one of those things you're just going to go, duh. I mean, yeah, we know that. But yet it is so often overlooked or done incorrectly. And as we're talking about this and as we're discovering this principle, you are going to have all kinds of examples in your life where you're going to see this hopefully done right. But I promise there'll be quite a few where you'll see it done wrong. And here's the thing, because it's so easy to see everybody else's faults instead of yours, you're going to see lots of examples in other people's lives that you're going to say, yep, I see how that played out. I see how that played out. Okay, what we're talking about tonight isn't isolated. This is so relevant to our day-to-day working. We've seen it so many, many times, and yet we miss it. We miss it, but we are learning. We're going to dive right into it tonight, all right? So we're going to look at the book of 1 Kings, and just to set this up a little bit, when we look at the kings of Israel, there was Saul that was first, okay, and he lost it, and then David became king, and then after David, who was king? Solomon, his son, and during Solomon's reign, Solomon didn't do what God told him to do, so God promised, okay, which would have been God's, what kind of will? Providential will. God says, look, I'm going to take the kingdom from you. There's nothing you can do about it. Okay? I'm not going to change my mind. I am promising that this will happen. And here we see Solomon, who is supposed to be the wisest man, trying to go up against God. Because God said this, I'm going to take the kingdom from you, and I'm going to allow this individual named Jeroboam, which was no relation to Solomon, to become king. He says, God promised Jeroboam is going to become king. My providential will, Jeroboam is going to become king. But what we find is Solomon tries to usurp the providential will of God and tries to kill Jeroboam. Meanwhile, Jeroboam hears this, skips town, goes down to live in Egypt. Solomon dies, and now next in line to the throne is Solomon's son, Rehoboam. All right, so there's a lot of names there. So Solomon hears that this guy named Jeroboam is going to become king. He says, I'm going to try to kill him. That doesn't work. And now Solomon dies. And now Solomon's son, Rehoboam, is now king. And this is where we find the principle here. So I'm going to read through a couple of verses in 1 Kings chapter 12. And then we'll circle around and extract the principle and then talk about the application. All right. 1 Kings chapter 12, starting at verse 1. Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all the Israelites had gone there to make him king. Okay. So Solomon's son, get ready to become king. When Jeroboam, that's the guy that God promised was going to be king, son of Nebat, heard this, he was still in Egypt where he had fled from King Solomon. He returned from Egypt. So they sent for Jeroboam, and he and the whole assembly of Israel went to Rehoboam and said to him, your father put a heavy yoke on us, but now lighten the harsh labor and the heavy yoke he put on us, and we will serve you, meaning this, hey, we have lived under all kinds of taxes. Solomon did this huge building project, all kinds of taxes. He made it hard for us. He says, look, if you'll ease up on us, if you'll ease up on us, we will serve you and we will allow you to be king, and we, it will be good. Rehoboam answered, go away for 3 days and then come back to me. So the people went away. Now, Rehoboam does a really smart thing here. He says, I'm going to take some time. I'm going to seek counsel. Next verse. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who had served his father Solomon during his lifetime. How would you advise me to answer these people? He asked. And they replied, if today you will be a servant to these people and serve them and give them a favorable answer, they will always be your servants, meaning this, that they're asking you to lighten up. If you will go to them and say, you know what, I'm going to listen to you and I will lighten up, I will lighten the load, I'm going to take what you say under advisement. The elder said, they will be your servants from here on out. It will go very, very well. This is a wise thing to do. Here, these elders had the perspective of Solomon. They had worked side by side with the wisest man ever. And they had that wisdom. They were giving Rehoboam wise counsel. But Rehoboam rejected the advice of the elders that gave him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him and were serving him. These were people that had a lot at stake. They were hanging out with Rehoboam, and that was their whole identity, that they had a place because they knew Rehoboam. Okay? That relationship meant a lot. There was a lot at stake here. He asked them, "What is your advice? How should we answer these people who say to me, 'Lighten the yoke that your father put on us'?" The young men who had grown up with him replied, "Tell these people who have said to you, 'Put your father put a heavy yoke on us, but make your yoke lighter.' Tell them, 'My little finger is thicker than my father's waist. My father laid on you a heavy yoke. I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips. I will scourge you with scorpions.'" Which makes no sense, but just, they're like, "Oh, you let them know. You just power up. Rehoboam, you are big and you are bad. And man, you are more than your dad ever was. And man, you just power up and you let them know how important you are. Because we think you're important. Because if you're important and you like us, then we're important." 3 days later, Jeroboam and all the people returned to Rehoboam, as the king had said, "Come back to me in 3 days." And the king answered the people harshly, rejecting the advice given to him by the elders, and he followed the advice of the young man and said, "My father made your yoke heavy. I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips. I will scourge you with scorpions." And so the king did not listen to the people. For this turn of events was from the Lord. That's important to understand. To fulfill the word the Lord had spoken to Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, through Ahi, Shiloh. And what he's saying there is this, is that as a result of this, the kingdom divided, the kingdom split, there was a revolt, there was all kinds of things that happened in a negative way, and Jeroboam became king. That God's providential promise happened through the free will of Rehoboam. Okay? God's providential will. And in this little story, we see the principle that we need to apply to our life. Now, here's the thing. We have all seen disaster after disaster that could have been avoided, right? I mean, we have seen people in the mirror make some really stupid life decisions, haven't we? Right? Anybody here make a stupid decision? Anybody here? How many have made more than one? Yeah, how many have made so many that you can't count them? Right, yeah. All kinds of stupid life decisions. And we've seen it. We've seen people make dumb decisions. And here's the thing that's interesting, because a lot of times people will come and they're like, "Oh, you know, I did this. I wish I would have done this." And I'm like, "What were you thinking?" And one of the things that just blows me away is this, is that they will say, "Well, I made this decision." I go, "Did you talk to anybody about that? I mean, did you ask anybody if that was a smart move?" And here's what I hear. It's just crazy. They'll go, "No, but I prayed about it." It's like, but that didn't work, did it? "No, but I prayed about it." And here's the thing. We've seen marriages and relationships, career choices, financial decisions, all kinds of things end in heartache or disaster that could have been avoided. Now, here's the important thing to understand is that in most cases, they didn't want this to fail. They didn't say, "Well, you know, I'm really looking for a divorce. And so I'm looking for a relationship that is just really going to tank hard." No. They didn't say, "You know, I want to make a stupid financial decision so that I can go bankrupt in, like, you know, 2 years. That's what I'm shooting for. You know, if I can get in under 2 years, even better." No. They don't want that. They're not looking for heartache. They're not looking for sorrow. They're not looking for mistake. They're trying to get it right. And yet, again and again and again, we see example after example of people missing out, making dumb decisions, life decisions. And we're kind of like, what are you thinking? And then we look at our own self, and we end up doing the same kind of thing. So what we're trying to learn tonight is, how do we bypass that? When you're looking at a situation where you say, "I need direction from God. I need wisdom from God. What should I do? How do I find this? I've got a pressing decision. I've got an important decision to make. How do I use God's scripture to find God's will when it's pressing? Because I don't want to continue."
decisions that I'm going to regret
later.
Later.
And that is what I'm going to do.
I'm glad you came.
And what's sad is that there are a lot of other people that need this. Because here's the truth. Is every one of us has the potential to make some very stupid decisions.
And when we fail to think that that's applicable to us, then we are really in danger of making some stupid decisions in our life. All right. So as we dive into this, I want to make this as practical as possible and not talk kind of ethereal stuff, but make this very, very practical so that we can put this into place. And here's the big idea, that God often reveals his will for us through others. That God often lets his will be known and gives us direction through others, through good, godly counsel. God speaks to us through others. The Bible again and again speaks over and over about seeking good, godly counsel. Seeking good and godly counsel. Solomon, who was the wisest man, the one that knew it all, that could have said, well, I'm the smartest man that there is. I don't need to ask for help. He wrote the most about seeking the counsel of others. He understood that wisdom is not found between your ears. Wisdom is found when you begin to ask questions and begin to get outside of what you know and begin to allow God to use others to speak into your life. And we are often in situations where we can't make a clear decision. When anything to do with our emotions, when somebody's in love, they make really stupid decisions. Okay? Okay? When somebody's emotionally tied to something, it blinds our decision. And as a result of that, we need to be able to step out of our perspective and allow God to speak into our life from a different perspective. Whether it be because we can't see clearly or we're out of our league, we don't understand it, we don't have the information or the knowledge, that this is a way that God uses to help us discover his will. And hopefully you have seen this happen in your own life. That you have asked for knowledge, you have asked for wisdom, and God has allowed people to speak into your life and given you good, godly counsel. We're looking at ways to expand and ways to go into different communities. And I'm thankful for Roy Grant, pastor down in Madison, and they have done this. And he sat down, we sat down over lunch, and he was telling me things that I would have never even thought of. And it totally changed my perspective on what was available and what kind of opportunities they were, because God used him to speak and allow me to have knowledge that I didn't have. And he began to share it. He began to open up. He said, you needed to talk to this person. And it's a blessing when God uses somebody else. And hopefully you've seen that. Here a few years ago, we had a series that we talked about. The name was I Was Broke, But Now I'm Not. Anybody remember that? And we met in small groups. And I remember that Rod and Diane Pettis shared something, a principle that they had in place for years and years that just blew me away of how they conducted their finances. And I'm like, that is so incredible. Wow, what an incredible principle that God has allowed you to discover, that you are teaching me, teaching us, that God allows people in our lives to share and helps us to discover God's will when we can't see clearly or we are just out of our area of expertise. I'm thankful that we have men in this church that can build way better than I can. Because I come up as like, well, let's try this. And they'll kind of like, no, let's not try that. Let's try this. And I'm so glad that they do that. Because this church is still standing as a result of it. If it was up to me, we'd be meeting in a tent someplace. And it'd be lopsided. But again, we listen for God's wisdom through others. And how many have done this? How many have went to somebody and asked, and they've been given good godly wisdom? If you have, just raise up your hands. Yeah, good godly wisdom. That somebody was there, that they shared, that they worked with you, they told you to read something, told you to go someplace, and again, allowed God to show his will and give you clarity in a situation. But here's the problem. There's another side to that. Because there are situations where we've gotten bad counsel. We've gotten bad advice. Then we went and asked somebody for wisdom, and we got stupidity back. that we went looking for direction and we ended up more lost than when we started. And here's the thing, we can look at it and say, well, I followed the principle and it didn't work. I mean, come on, God. I mean, if this is the way that you're telling us to work, then it should work, because I can point to example after example where I tried and got stupidity back, or talked to other people that made dumb choices in their life and they say, well, you know, I was confirmed through this and this and this and this. And you're going, what? How is that supposed to work? What is going on there? And here's the thing we're going to discover now, is that the problem wasn't that you asked. The problem is who you asked. The problem isn't that you followed the principle. The problem is who you asked for wisdom. So we're going to look at a very, very practical way, very applicable way that we can make sure that as we look for wisdom, as we use this principle to find wisdom in our life, that we are seeking the right people so that we get wisdom from God and not get on some path that's going to lead us into a dumb decision or destruction, or feel confirmed that we're headed in the right direction when actually we're not. All right? Okay, we're ready to dive in. Here we go. Okay. When we look at this, the key verse in this story that really stands out is verse 8. It's talking about, and Rehoboam rejected the advice the elders gave him. And he took the advice of the young men that were serving him. That is so important, because as we look for the first principle to make sure that we are asking the right people, the first thing that you need to do is you're looking for someone is this next screen. Choose someone that has nothing to lose by telling you the truth. Choose someone that has nothing to lose by telling you the truth. That's why if you're a boss, just says it's a very dangerous thing to go and ask one of your employees if you're doing something wrong. Why? Because they're going to be afraid that if they tell you you're making a stupid decision, you're going to fire them. Right? But there are people in your life, there are people that you know, that you know if you went to them, they love you enough, they care about you enough, they think about you in a standing, that they are willing to tell you something that is true, even though it might be what you don't want to hear. And so as you are looking to say, who am I going to seek knowledge from? Who am I going to go to help find wisdom? Find somebody who has nothing to lose by telling you the truth. And the other part of this is don't go just find somebody that you know is going to agree with you. Oh, yeah, I know they are going to tell me what I want to hear, so I'm going to go ask them. Hey, that's not how it works. It's not how it works. If you want to see the opposite of this example, watch like the first couple of shows of American Idol every year, because you will see examples of people who do not have people in their life that are willing to tell them the truth. Oh, you can sing. You go, girl. It's like, it's like, oh, you know, who is, you know, sacrificing the cow up there? Hey. Oh, you didn't get picked? Oh, well, they just don't know anything. You can sing. Like, no. Okay. You need somebody to say, you know what? You don't embarrass yourself. Don't go on the show. All right. Please, please, please. Okay. Who in your life is that? As you're looking for somebody, find the right person. Choose someone that has nothing to lose by telling you the truth. The second thing is this. Choose someone that is where you want to be in life. When you're looking for wisdom, don't go ask the guy in the office that is dumber than you. You know what I mean? It's like, don't go ask marital advice from the guy that's been divorced 8 times. But yet, how often do we see this? I mean, and if you want an example of this, just go on any social media site, and it'll take you all about 30 seconds to find something that somebody says, you know, I'm thinking about leaving her, and what do you find? Oh, yeah, dump her. I mean, I dumped my fourth wife, you know, after this, you know. It's like, really? This is where you're going? No, no, no. You're not going to find wisdom. Find someone that is where you want to be. Find someone that has a map already of where you want to go. Find someone that is an example of where you are trying to get to. You know, don't go ask the bankrupt person, you know, for financial advice. Don't ask the person who has no relationship with God to affirm God's will in your life. It's not going to happen. It doesn't work that way. Find someone that is where you want to be. You want great marital advice? Go talk to somebody that's been married for 60 years, 50 years, 40 years. Hey, you're doing it. You're there. You've made it. How did you do that? Go talk to someone who's successful. Go talk to one who has a great relationship with God. Go find someone who is where you want to be. Find someone where you can use their map. Okay, the next thing is this. If possible, ask more than one person. And if possible, find someone you know well and find someone that you don't know so well. And the church is a beautiful and a wonderful resource. That's part of how God's body works. Because there are people, even in the church size that we have, that you can see their life and you know where they're at, but you may not have a close relationship with them. And yet, here is the thing, that as a body, we can go and we can use that and say, you know what, hey, can I ask you a few questions? Can I ask you something? Can you speak into my life? Because I see that you're successful in this. I see that you have a relationship with God. Or I see you've got a successful marriage. I see that you're where I want to be. And I'm looking for God's wisdom. And again, when we begin to ask more than one person, what we begin to see is there is a unity in God's wisdom that he gives to us. When you begin to hear the same thing over and over and over again from people that you love and trust in your life, and you don't want to agree, that's a very dangerous place to be. So ask more than one person. The last thing is this: go insensitive that God may tell you something completely different. Go insensitive that God may want to speak directly to you in this. You may assume one thing, but as you go in, God may be giving you complete different directions. So don't go in front-loaded. Don't go in thinking, well, this is what I'm going to hear. Go in open and saying, God, I'm trying to follow your principle. I want to do what you want me to do. I'm seeking your will. I'm doing this not to just find a decision, but to define your decision. So God, lead me. Give me wisdom and allow God to speak and be open to it. One thing that I really want to stress is this. Start early. Don't wait until the climactic decision of yes or no. Start early. Ask in wisdom early. I love the story that Pete tells. It's not a story, it's a true example that his son Craig went to their pastor and asked advice before he started dating the girl. He's like, we're thinking of dating. Can you give us wisdom before? And they ended up getting married and have a beautiful relationship. And I love that, because here's the thing. Don't wait until it's like, well, you know, it's gotten so far and, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Start early. Start early. Allow God to lead. Allow God to guide you. So I'm thinking about this career. Who do I need to talk to? I'm thinking about this direction in life. How do I continue to allow God to speak and guide me so that I don't have the crises in my life? As I'm starting young, I want to make sure that I make wise financial decisions when I'm young. I want to make sure that I'm making wise career decisions. I'm making sure that I'm making wise spiritual decisions in my life. And so I'm seeking God's wisdom early. Early. All right. So we're learning, choose the right people. Start early. And then when we find these people, what do we ask? How do we do this? What kind of things do we ask? And so there's three examples that I wrote down here. These are just a basic concept kind of what we're asking, of what you're asking, the types of questions. The first question is this. Are any of the options I'm considering outside the boundaries of Scripture, meaning this, is what I'm wanting to do in the way of God? That the response that I'm thinking of doing it, is it in God's will? Is that what God's Scripture says to do? Is that what I should say? Is that how I should, you know, respond? Is that what I should do? Is there anything here that I'm not aware of? Is there anything here that maybe I don't see that you see in wisdom that is going to get outside of those boundaries? Is there anything here that is outside the boundaries of Scripture that I should be aware of? And what does Scripture say, if anything, that I should do in this matter? And be open to the response. The second thing is this, is what is the wise thing for me to do? And we talk about this question a lot. Based upon my past experiences, my current situation, my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing for me to do? When I have to choose between gray and gray, when it's not right or wrong, but it's A and B, what is the wise thing for me to do? And you begin to ask, what is the wise thing for me to do? And the last thing is this, is if you were me, what would you do? If you were me, what would you? And again, you see, it's so important that we start off with the right people, the ones that are where we want to be, that have that relationship with God, that are living their life according to God's principles, and we see God's blessing, and that are invested in us and love us enough to tell us the truth, even when it might be something that we don't want to hear. And when we begin to go to them and say, hey, what's the wise thing for me to do? What have you found in Scripture that maybe I'm missing? And if you were me, what would you do in this position? Do you see how God can use the people that he's placed in your life to help convey God's wisdom to your life? When we look at this, we say, well, this just is logical. This doesn't seem very spiritual. You see, God works in the logic, which is kind of funny because we're asking God to be clear, right? I mean, God, why don't you just like email me direction? That'd be so easy, wouldn't it? Make it clear. God says, hey, go talk to them. They'll tell you. Well, I don't want to hear what they have to say. It might be what I don't want to hear. But I want clarity, God. I want clarity, God. Go talk to them. They'll give you clarity. I don't want to talk to them because it might be too clear. Here's the thing. When we allow God's principle to work, God speaks clearly. We talked about that last week. God's not trying to hide his will from you. God is not trying to, you know, make you wonder, oh, I don't know what to do. God says, there's a plan for you, and I want you to do it, and I've tried to put people and things in your path so that you can discover it. We're going to discover more ways, but this is one of the ways that God uses to speak his will into our life. Now, we know this. We know this. But yet there is something in all of us that when we are in a place where we need to make a decision, that oftentimes we will push back on this for a variety of reasons. The first one is this, is we know what they're going to say and we don't want to hear it. That deep down inside, we know that we shouldn't, and they're going to say that we shouldn't, but yet we don't want to hear that we shouldn't. Or we know that we should, and they're going to say we should, but we don't want to hear that we should. And so we go, I'll pray about it. I don't want to talk to anybody. I'll just pray about it. I'll try to convince God. Try to arm wrestle God over this. Here's the deal. It's not going to work. God's trying to speak. Here's one of these warning signs. That if you fear speaking to someone because you know what they're going to say and it's not what you want to hear, that should be just the red flag going up the flagpole there. That danger, 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 danger. You're trying to convince yourself. You paint yourself into, you know, something that's going to destroy you. You're trying to make it look good, and it's not good. You're trying to, you just want your way. You don't want God's way. But you're saying you want God's will. And any time that you find ourselves in that, that's why we need to be open. That's why I love a church that is a communal church. It's a community church. There's sharing, there's giving, there's that openness there. Because that's so where we find God's will. God's will. The other thing that pushes back on this is pride. We think we know better. We think we know better. That why would I ask them? What do they know? They don't know my situation. They don't know. It's like what we read in Scripture in Rehoboam. He had good advice given to him, but yet he goes, I don't want to listen to them. I want to listen to my crew. I want to listen to them because I know better than them. When we think, this is so important. When we think we know better than everybody else, that is usually the indication, that is the indication that we don't. When you're in a situation and people who you trust, people who are trying to speak into your life with love and concern for your outcome, and you are looking at them going, I know better than they are, that's a very dangerous place to be. What you're really saying is this, is God, I know better than you. Because you're trying to use others to speak into my life, and I'm saying, I know better than you. We always need to be in a position of humility and openness to others. Scripture talks about that. Always need to be. It says, prefer your brother over yourself, because God wants to use him to speak into your life. And if you think you're better than him, then you know what? That just closes the door. I love the dynamic that we have here, because again and again, we see people coming and sharing, and I'm hearing how young people have spoken to elders in love and help provide wisdom God can use, and how elders have spoken into the lives of youth and provided wisdom and direction. And I love that we have our planning team and our board. Again, when we get together, there is not like, well, this is the way we're going to do it, and just I need you to just sign off. Uh-uh. We pray about it. We seek God's will, and we invoke, what do you think? What are we missing? What opportunities are there? And you know what? God works in that. When we say, we're just trying to follow God's will, and God, you've presented us and surrounded us with incredible wisdom. We just need to stop and to listen to what they're saying as you are speaking to them to speak to us. And when we allow pride to get in the way, we miss it, and we will miss God's will every single time. That's why we humble ourselves. That's why we stay humble. That's why we listen. That's why we're open. That's why we need to ask. Because when we get to the place where we can ask, and there is something that breaks in us of saying, you know what, I'm willing to accept that you know better than I do in this. Can you allow God to speak through you to me? There's something powerful when we humble ourselves and allow God to work in that matter. And here's the thing, as you look back at your life and you look at some of the stupidest decisions you've ever made, and if you said, if I would have followed this, if I would have went to people that had that relationship with God, that they were in the place that I wanted to be, what would they have said? And you know what they would have said. Don't do it. Go the other direction. Run. You know what? And yet we missed it. And God is saying in his word, he says, look, you don't have to live a life bouncing from one crisis to the other. I'm trying to lead you. I'm trying to guide you, but you got to be willing to do it my way. God wants to lead you. God's got a plan for you. This is the first church I've pastored, but this isn't the first church that I've been asked to pastor. We are in a place where we just started the church, really, and it grew, and they had a minister come in, and it was growing, and he moved away, and they said, you know, you were just the logical one. Why don't you just, you're here anyway. I mean, everybody knows you and you've filled in. Why don't you just take this church and lead this church? And it sounded like it was the absolute right, perfect thing to do. But here's the thing. I began to seek counsel. What do you think? What would you do? What would you do? And I'm so glad that I did, because you know what? That would have been the stupidest decision I would have ever made in my life.
is to become a pastor of that church. And you're going, how could that be wrong? It's like understanding that, it's not, often not a right or wrong decision. It wasn't the time, it wasn't the place, because it was just really a few months after that that God opened the door for me to come here. Maybe some of you are thinking, well, maybe you should have taken the other route there. I don't know. But no. God is trying to lead you. God wants to give you direction if we're willing to follow his will. And the beautiful thing is, this works in every area of your life. It works in our finances. It works in our relationships. It works in our parenting. It works in our relationship with God. It works in every area that God has surrounded us and given this wonderful church with so many wise people. Follow God's will. When you are pressed for a decision, this is one of the ways we can use to find wisdom in our life. Now, the rest of the series, we're going to talk about other ways that God reveals his wisdom to us, but this is such a good thing. It's such a powerful thing, and it's something that we can do.